of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Verse 3, And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? Now, I got that move. The Lord moved on me last night about that. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I want to say this. In this generation of the drive-through, they said when Brother Billy Brock came up here, he had never seen much of a drive-through, and Spencer said he just wanted to drive through them to see what they had. and I noticed when I moved to Kentucky, when they moved to Kentucky, they don't have many drive-throughs where I was at least. And the lady, when my wife went through the drive-through at the bank, at our bank in Maysville, she said a lot of the older people are afraid to put their money in that little tube and let it go underground. In fact, I was there one day and somebody just tried to stick a paper check in that open slot, and of course the guy was having to dig it out, but they was afraid of those drive-throughs. They said they'd rather come in. Well, we've got the generation that are used to the remote control, and they're used to the microwave, and they're used to Burger King having it my way. And there's a lot of young people and a lot of people everywhere that they don't want to get up. They'll sit right there. I looked at my dad. He's home now, and I don't mean to always talk about my own family, but my dad, at the early part of this week, it was questionable where he was even going to see the light of day of another day. But God, through mercy and God's love and the prayers of the saints, even my aunt, my dad's sister, told my mom, you really realize how many prayers have went up? I mean, they were praying everywhere. Because why? Because they have a love for a sinner who's not ready to meet God. They want God, they was praying for God's mercy and God's healing. God brought my dad through, and now dad's home, and I went over and seen him on Friday, and I was talking to him some. I mean, he's in bad shape, but he's able to sit up. And I thought, Dad, you know, what else is it going to take? You've been right at the death's door, and yet still you won't bow your knee. Well, you know, you're going to sit there, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to sit there till you die. But you know that there's an opportunity there. There's an invitation there. And we've had a burden. Some of the guys here in the church have been talking and praying. They wanted to get out and knock on doors, and they wanted to start going around and picking people up. Well, we've been praying about it. You can pray all you want to, but until you get out there and knock on that first door, you're not going nowhere. Sometimes you got to get up and make an effort. And this week, Sister Carol Combs, she's sitting back there. Wave your hand, Carol. And she called us here to church. Said, I'd like to start coming out to the church. I said, well, you know, where you live? She said, I live over on the west side. And she said, me and my friend, Brother Joe, said, we'd like to start coming. I said, how'd you find out about it? She said, we looked in the phone book. I said, well, we're an old-fashioned Pentecostal church. But, you know, she didn't realize that she was a part of the prayer that we'd been a prayer and wanting to reach out. So I'll tell you what we're doing. I'll announce it to everybody. I called some of the widows last night. We're going to start running the church van to pick people up. Now, last night, we picked up two. You know what they did? They told their neighbor, Brother Sexton, and now we picked up Betty tonight, and she told me on the way to church, said, Brother Mike, she said, do you all have something for young people? I said, we sure do. She said, I'd like to get my grandkids in church. I'd like to get my daughter to come to church. You know what? They could have sat over there on the west side till they died. But you know what? They said, I want to do something. And they had to call me, and glory to God, you know what they're doing? They're concerned about their soul. And there's a lot of people in this generation. They're dissatisfied with sitting and doing nothing. But you know, to do anything for God, you've got to get up and move to help yourself. You've got to get up and move. There's been some people coming to this church. I mean, his wife's a good praying woman. But he sits right there. He'll never pray. He's going to keep sitting there until he swallows that pride and get up and move. Them four leprous men said, why sit here till we die? There's a little bit of work involved in praying. There's a little bit of work involved in getting closer to God. We was talking today as we was eating dinner with me and Norma and Angie and Kevin. And Norma said, I can't understand when the power of God, like it was here this morning, people crying. Why is there always some that sits there? They never move. You better watch out. I may come back someday with a stick pin and poke you, because I'm going to see whether you've got any feelings whatsoever about you. I've been accused of messing up some of them boys' hair, so I'll get way away from you, Tommy. But I don't understand that. When you feel the love of God, when you feel the Spirit of God, why don't you want to get up? Why don't you want to come and draw closer to God and get more of God? I'll tell you the reason why. You're satisfied to sit there until you die. And you know what the problem is? You'll put the blame on everybody else. When the blame is you, brothers and sisters, when the blame is right now, just shut it all down. It is mine. It is me. It is Mike. If I don't get close to God, it's not Gary's fault. It's not the Wayne's fault. It's my fault. They were there. Chapter 6 tells us that the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, had gathered all his hosts and went up and began to besiege the city of Samaria. I mean, things were bad. It tells us right here in 25 of 6. They besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. But you know, I don't know why so many of our people are looking to the world who's in a mess. I mean, one day they're happy because the stock market's up. One day they're sad. The cousin of mine who's backslid on God that I seen in town the other day, I just heard that his job that he thought was so great, they're getting rid of him. I mean, this world will use you. I mean, they'll say you're the most important thing in the world. They told me, they said, Mike, don't worry about being laid off. Everything's going to be all right. You've got enough seniority in the company. Brother, they'll lie to you, Brother Jerry. You know what? By the time Friday come, I wasn't important. They come around laying me off. I threw my hands up. He said, I'm sorry, Mike, but I thought you was going to miss the layoff. But you know, I had the rent due. But God didn't forsake me. But there's so many people that they're looking for this world. And they're looking for the Social Security and welfare to try to help them out. I want to tell you, this world's in a mess. I had a great job when I worked for Frito-Lay. And I thank God for it. But there wasn't one time that I went to thank God for that job that God didn't remind me. That job could be gone tomorrow, but keep your trust in me. Keep the faith in me. Keep looking to me to supply. I mean, I said a prayer the other night. I said, God, I'm thankful I'm not evangelizing right now. I went down to BP today on the way back to church, and I felt like I'd been running so much of that regular through, I better treat my van and get it some good gas. I do want it to last a while. So, brother, I got $10.05 in worth of gas and got 5.8 gallons. I paid $1.71 for 93 octane. That is almost a sin. But you know, I thought, oh God, I wish. I said, Lord, are you ever going to bring these prices down? What are we going to do, brothers and sisters? They may go to $2.51 a gallon before it's over. Or they may go back down. But you know what God spoke to me when I said, I wish, and I'm thankful that I'm not evangelizing. God said, why? Do you think it would have dried up my supplies? God would have met the need. He always met the need before, and it'll always meet the need again. But there's so many people that are just waiting for the right thing to happen in the world to make everything peaceful. They're worried more about what they got out there than what they got over there. And, well, anyway, I want to tell you, to get closer to the Lord, you've got to get up. You've got to move. You've got to draw nigh. They said, if we sit here, we're going to die. I will pray with you at your seat. If you beg me to come back to you, or the Lord deals me to come back to you. But I'll tell you what I like. I like when the Sister Sexton, some of her family the other night, came to the altar, swallowed his pride, walked all the way up to the altar. We started talking to him, told him about the plan of salvation, broke down, started crying, started weeping before the Lord. And you know, it's just something about somebody swallowing the pride and getting up and not care about nobody else. You know, I didn't get saved worrying about what everybody else thought. And these guys were so desperate, they said, I don't care what happens. Where we're at right now, we're going to die unless we do something about it. You know what? They said, we're better off to go to the Syrian camp. And they went to the Syrian camp, and the Lord had prepared a great noise and scared them all away and prepared the way. I mean, you know, it says this in verse 8, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it, and then said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, glory to God, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Said, for the Lord had made them to hear, the Syrians, a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Well, so you got all their spoil here. And I kind of read that in reverse, but I mean, all the spoil there. Brother Tommy, it ain't nothing for us. When I got saved, I quit worrying about what everybody thought about me. I got in there and sought God, and started drawing nigh to God. And then when I started seeking the Holy Ghost, at first I was embarrassed because I'd shout. And, you know, I went to Richlands, Virginia to preach. And, you know, that big church, Brother Jerry. At first time there, had these brown shoes on that my church in Vanceburg bought me. And I was proud of them. But got up there to preach, making a big impression, split the whole side of my shoe out. I said, I look like a great preacher, don't I? And had to hobble along down the church trying to preach. And they never forgot me, and I never forgot them. I still go back. But, you know, I had to swallow my pride and go on anyway. And long before that, I had to swallow my pride whenever I wanted to draw nigh to the Lord and get the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this. If anybody's trying to get closer to the Lord, one thing you're going to do, you're going to quit worrying about what everybody thinks about you. You're going to swallow your pride. And I want to say this also. When they got the spoil, and they was thinking of my four noble, they was happy as could be. And they were satisfied. But you know what? They realized their need, that they were dying. They took off, and the Lord had prepared, and they found the answer. You know what our answer is? Our answer is old-time religion. Our answer is Jesus Christ. And I was thankful when I got saved, because once I had humbled myself, once I had obeyed the Lord and forsaken my old friends, and man, I thought I could never do it, but I could, because I swallowed my pride and said, God, I don't care what they say about me. I was dying. I was unhappy. I was on my way to hell. And I said, God, I needed something. When I found God, I found what I was looking for. And I was so determined that I wasn't going to lose it. I said, whatever it takes, God, if you'll help me, I'll do it. Man, God said, leave your friends. And that bothered me. And I started drawing nigh to God. And that's what those guys, they got saved. Or they got their lives saved. And once they got their lives saved, they had all the spoil. They were burying it. They were having, man, maybe you guys ain't never been hungry like I have. Dennis, you can relate to this, but sometimes we get so hungry, we eat to where we get sick. When we first started getting pizza in our house, my dad still don't like it, but he would buy it for his boys. Every time we got a Shadlock's pizza, I'd eat it till I absolutely got sick. And I'd have to lay and couldn't move. I mean, that's what... I'm serious. I had to lay flat on my back until I couldn't move and lay there for an hour or two so everything settled down. That's about the way I am with Chinese now. But I really believe these guys ate and ate and ate till they was literally sick. And they were laying around. When they come back to their self, you know, with a big old gold platter in one arm and a big old piece of figs in the other. They come to themselves and they said, you know what? Even though they didn't care for us and we were on the outside of the city, there's still some of our family and friends are inside there and they're dying. Now how can we enjoy any more than we've got without going and telling somebody? And I don't say this, you don't have the love of Christ when you don't want to tell what God's done for you. Oh, glory to God. You don't have the love of God when you don't want to knock on doors. Here I was ready to go to Africa. Told God, whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. I mean, I done swallowed my pride. I said, God, I can't help it. Everywhere I go, they look at me. I'm usually head and shoulders taller than everybody else. My feet get there long before I ever do. My size 15s. I mean, I kick the bottom of shopping carts. I step on people. Everybody knows I'm around, God, so I might as well do it for the Lord. I might as well, when I get their attention, I might as well tell them about God. So I was ready to do anything. And Brother Jerry, God said, why don't you knock on doors? I went back to prayer again. One old guy from Mississippi named Joey Mace, he said, God, I'd crawl across the field of broken glass to get to you. I don't know how far he's got the determination now. That's what he had when he first got saved, though. And I met him out in Missouri. But you know, Dwayne, I said, God, whatever you want me to do. I went to prayer again. I was ready to go to Africa. God said, I just said, how about knocking on doors? Man, I swallowed my pride and said, all right. Then I done something wrong. I went and tried to get everybody else to join Mike's wagon. That's what I was telling one guy this morning about it. I said, my idea was me and Mike Allen travel all over the country, preach. Me and my brother and Mike Allen, you know, as many people as I get, we all go together. It don't work that way. God sent Mike to South Lebanon, sent me to Virginia and everywhere else in between. And you got to go by yourself. And I tried to get Durbin Ward to get the burden and knock on doors. I tried to get Wayne Evans to get the burden and knock on doors. I took him to Middletown. I was gung-ho. Oh, another thing about this generation, they'll cry when they got to park at the end of the parking lot. I'm married to one of them. I know what I'm talking about. But brothers and sisters, there's a little bit of work involved. And I had a desire to do something. And I started knocking on doors. And nobody wanted to go with me. But I finally got so sick, and I wanted to go so bad, I went. And then I got tired because everybody I went to said, yeah, we go to church. I said, God, what am I doing then? He said, you asked them if they're ready to meet God. The next door I came to, knock, 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 I'm Mike Barker from the Pentecostal Highway Hunters Church. Are you ready to meet God? They went, I don't know if nobody knows they're ready. I said, I know that I'm ready. I know that I'm saved. You know what? There was a woman at the well of Samaria over in the New Testament. And Jesus said, I must need, I believe it's John 4, Jesus said, I must need, go through Samaria. And you know what happened? He went to Samaria and met a woman there. Glory to God, she was drawing water at the well in the middle of the day. Nobody cared for her. She was an outcast. Nobody loved her. But you know what? Jesus loved her. And Jesus went by to see her. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, which art a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Glory to God. You know, Jesus talks to her and says, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Verse 18 of John 4, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. I want to say this. I can't help it the way they come to the altar, but glory to God, thank God there's some thirsty souls out there. Somebody's got to go out of their way and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. That woman wasn't desired of nobody, but Jesus knew it was a soul that needed help. Glory to God. He said on down
The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is coming, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not Christ? Brother, you say, I ain't got nothing to tell them. Tell them what God done for you. That's what those boys, those leprous boys did. They went back to the city and they told what happened to them. They told what God had prepared. They told that there was food. There was a glory to God spoiled for the taking. That the famine was over. And I want to say this. There's people that's dying. And if they keep sitting there, they're going to sit there till they die. But glory to God. Glory to God. We need to tell somebody to get up. Get up. Get up. There's life. Glory to God. There's living water here.
Well, I'm a beat in the air and not going nowhere. But I want to say this. I tried to get a hold of some people today because I said I got a priest tonight. And they told me they had a burden to work this route. And I couldn't get a hold of nobody. But we kept the word and picked them up anyway. If you tell me you got a burden, it's going to take you getting up and doing something about it. If you're going to, you're going to have to get up and work. And I want to say what we're going to do. We're going to go out there to the hedges and the highways. We're going to compel them to come in. We're going to show them the truth. The other night, glory to God, I'm getting myself in a hole now, but the young people was coming off the platform, and I said, you was dead. He's dead. He's dead. Say, Brother Mike, you're being mean to my little boy. No, I'm not. I want him to praise the Lord. They're so afraid because they've seen the charismatics go to extreme. We are thankful that we're saved, aren't we? Glory to God, we are thankful that we're alive, aren't we? There's no praising when you're sitting there. Glory to God, when you get you on your feet and begin to praise God. My wife said, don't be too hard on a mic. Well, I said, you were dead. They looked at me like I was strange. I said, wake up, we're in church. Wake up now, we're in church. Shake your neighbor, say, wake up. If you don't happen to know, we're here this Sunday night. We're getting in here. In this court with thanksgiving, in this case with praise, in this court thanksgiving, we're getting ready to have church, brothers. I come to have church. My flesh wanted to stay down there and pray more. My flesh wanted to stay down there, get a hold of God more. But I told God, yes, I would get up, I'd do whatever. And brother, I am not somebody that's going to do something by the grace of God out of order. I will have some decency about me. I have never one time stepped on anybody's shoe when I'm in the spirit. I can say amen to that. I've danced around fingers. I didn't know it. They just told me later. But you know what scares people to get in and worship God? Is because Monday night I was preaching in a youth revival. I was the Monday night speaker. And we had a black gospel group come in that wasn't invited, but they thought one of our members looked like one of the ladies at the thrift store that had invited them. Just ask Sister Sexton about it. I never have. When I eat chicken, I never have like thighs and legs. And that night, when those Jezebels got up there, I was putting my head down because that's all they were showing was thighs and legs. And I said, Lord, I seen the pastor. I said, if he's amen in this, I'm going to get up and leave. I looked down. He had his head down, just almost crying. I thought, Lord, what we've got ourselves into. They come down there shouting off the platform with gold and immodest dress. And I mean, we are not prejudiced. But this is the house of God, brothers and sisters. It's the house of God. And they were the jimmying and shaking and everything else. Come against some of our young boys, a shimmying and a shaking. And they were just putting their head down. I felt embarrassed for everybody. Some people got up and left. I don't blame them for doing that. But it was a bad situation. The pastor thought they was part of our group that just got saved. And we thought they were part of his group that just got saved.
And to come to find out, they weren't even invited. They were just there on their own accord, and they're disrupting the whole service. And but you know, brothers and sisters, it didn't destroy what God done before they ever got up there. And we had a great move of God. We had the power of God moving. My little girl Leanne, shut it up. Little sister Donetta prayed the altar real good. The devil tried to get up and stick his ugly head up and try to disturb things, but it didn't stop what God was doing before he ever got up. And just because they got up there and showed out, don't mean it's wrong for us to get up there and scream and holler and praise the Lord and worship God. It's time to get up. Glory to God. It's time to arise. It's time to praise God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I thought, man, I thought of everything I would have done different after it was over. But while it was going on, you don't know what to do. Oh, glory. What are you going to do, Brother Mike? I will still do the same thing. If I get asked to go back to certain places, I'll go. I ain't going to go there in one night and try to straighten them out. But I'm going to tell them there's a better way. I'm going to tell them, glory to God, it's the Bible way. It's holiness. It's separation from the world. Well, I believe that if some of these people in this church keep sitting and never moving, they're going to die. But I want to tell you, if you get up, it's not very far to the answer. It's right up here around the altar. Just humbling yourself down, getting a hold of God. Man, I was sitting there this morning, tears was rolling. I was getting helped. I looked back and seen people crying. I thought, Lord, that's the real Spirit of God. The real Spirit of God don't make you a vulgar and don't make you have to make men turn their head. There were some of the ladies in our church was taking their husbands and saying, man, I'm embarrassed just for them. And